This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, What Fathers Need Most, Pastor Scott directs fathers towards God for guidance and encouragement in their fatherhood role. This message was recorded on Father's Day, June 21st, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
You know, fatherhood is sometimes a tough thing. When I became a dad, man, I didn't know a thing about raising a child. I didn't have God, and I had some friends, and this is the encouragement that they would give me. Hey, Scott, we go drink. Hey, Scott, we go fishing. No worry about them, you know. They would encourage me, kind of like in the wrong way, and the encouragement that I got from my wife was just unnoticed. And back then, I look, it's like, man, I was just a lost father, a dad, and not knowing how to lead my family. It was like the blind leading the blind. You know, just going wherever, you know, you felt like going, wherever the wind blew. I took no responsibility to pray for them, or to pray with them, or even to bring them to church. I was lost. And then when I look back, I can see, wow, it's a miracle today that we're still together. And thanks and glory goes to God. And He had watched over me. And thanks to my wife who was patient with me. You know, God today, He is still in the miracle business. And He wants to begin a miracle in your lives if you would let Him. If we took fatherhood seriously, we realize that, man, it's not an easy job. It takes effort and consistency, endurance. Nobody ever said that being a dad would be easy. And if they said it was, they don't know what it's about. Sometimes as dads, we struggle. Sometimes we fall down. Well, not sometimes. A lot of times we fall down. We're imperfect. You know, if we as dads are to raise strong children and maintain strong families, then, man, we gotta persevere. Amen? If you're a father or a dad and you are here today, pat yourselves on the back. And if you brought your family, give yourself a double pat on the back, because you are doing the right thing. Man, I'm glad that I kind of realized this when my children were young, and that I got to, you know, start trying to make a change in my life. You know, as dads, man, we need encouragement just like everybody else, not just on Father's Day. You know, we get the honey-do list. How many of you get the honey-do list? How many of you dads get the honey-do list? And how many of you dads, when you finish that first thing, 5 more things get added onto the list? Yeah, it's sometimes like, man, after you accomplish one, you just need that word, like, wow, good job. Instead of like in an instant, the list grows from 5 to 10 to 20. I think my list is probably around 40 or 50. And it's like I have so much things that I want to do, so many things that I get to do. And I know my wife is planning on more things that she wants me to get done. And there's times when I just want to sit down and relax. And so many times that I want to just hop in my truck and go fishing. And I did that, and I realized it's not about catching fish, because I don't sometimes. But when I went the last trip, I just got to be still, standing on the edge of the cliff, looking at the ocean, and just listening to the voice of God. And when I came back, oh, I felt so refreshed, so good, so filled, that I get to continue to love and serve my family the way God wants me to. You know, as I prayed about this message, and I was asking God, God, you know, what do dads need? What is like the basic things that we need? What in order to for us to do good, to survive, and to lead our families, right? And this is the first thing that he said, you need me. You need God. And as dads, man, if you tried to raise your family without God, man, it's a struggle. It is. And you can end up doing so many things the wrong way. As I look back on when my children were young, before I came to God, and I did so many things that was wrong, that was ungodly, and that by not knowing, I would lead them actually down the wrong way. And as I was preparing for this message, it's like, man, dads, well, we cannot try to lead our family without God. Amen? Ecclesiastes 2, 25 and 26. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Oh, right there. Who can? Who can eat and who can enjoy life without God? We may think we can, but we can. For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. I look at that and it's like, ever since I decided to give my life to Christ, he has given me wisdom. He has given me knowledge and so much joy. This is the thing. I went fishing. I smashed my truck on the rocks because I was just going where I thought the fish was. And, you know, when you have a truck and you get it kind of scratched up, you kind of get sad. But I'm still joyful. Not for the smashed truck, but I'm still joyful because why? I have God now. So it's like people look at me like, oh, look at your truck. It's a truck. I got God, and that's all that matters. It says, so while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity in striving after the wind. You know, Solomon, he contemplated the futility of life. He presented his divinely inspired solution. Rather than becoming worn under the frustration of uselessness, he said, enjoy to the fullest life that God has given. And in the view of that, the temporariness and the fruits of our works, Solomon recommended that a man enjoy his fruits and satisfaction in his work as he has done. But he warned them that this was only possible if God enabled him to do so. Because without God, who can find enjoyment? You know, he warned that God is the one who brings that to us. You know, that the job of a father, a dad, is hard enough. I remember when my daughter was being born, I mean, every 10 or 15 minutes while my wife was in labor, I was outside downstairs smoking my cigarettes. Yeah, believe, yeah, you know, stress, you just gotta keep going. And, you know, as they were growing up, I would smoke around them, I would drink around them. And, you know, it was bad enough that I was doing that. It was hard enough trying to raise them and trying and being in the world. But now that you come on this side and you're working with God and God is helping you, he's teaching you, it's still hard. But I got God. We all got God, amen? Yeah, and sometimes if we try to do things on our own, man, it gets frustrating so fast. And we just want to quit. And some people do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this is for all of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is one scripture for fathers, for dads, for mothers, for everybody, young and old. This is one that you keep with you for the rest of your life. This is one that you put in your toolbox of life, your experience. It's like the vice grip in your toolbox that, you know, when you don't have the right thing, use the vice grip. It's there. And this is one of those scriptures that it will be there if you keep it, you deposit it in your heart. And you can always go back to him when you're struggling, when you're raising your child, when they make wrong decisions. Man, right? You just go back to this. Trust in the Lord with not half of your heart, but all of your heart. So we, as dads, man, we need God. Not only dads, but mothers too, but all of us. Amen. We need God. And number two, we need encouragement. We really do. Especially when we mess up. Sometimes, I remember I messed up. You know, when you spank your kids and there's a mark on their leg. Oh, gosh. You feel so terrible. Or when you scold them, even though you may be right, the words that you have chosen is wrong. Man, that's when we need the encouragement. When we need that help, that word. Galatians 6, 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See, while we do good, good will never earn us salvation. Paul did encourage believers to persist in doing what is good. While we do good, we should not get discouraged and give up. Every single time an opportunity comes up to do good, we should do it. Every single time that we get to say a word of encouragement, we should do it. A little bit of encouragement can go so, so far. It can be like having that glass of water in the desert. You know, it's so important. It can be such a confidence booster. How many of you ever encouraged somebody and they said, no, they don't want it? Yeah? You ever purposely go through the line that says cashier in training? How many of you see that line and go in the other line? Like, oh, I don't want to go to this line. Because you know what it's like. You know that they take a little bit longer. And, you know, you try purposely go through that line just so you can give them a word of encouragement. You can, when they mess up your order, and you can just say, hey, you know what, I like to say, you know what, take your time. Take your time. Don't worry about it. And when they finish, I say, wow, you did really good. You see their face light up. It's a smile. You know, can you go through your day and purposely look for people to encourage? Your family, your friends, your husband, your children. Think of words that you can tell them that they can encourage. You know, when they come home from work, what is the first thing they want to hear? It's like, oh, honey, you forgot to take out the rubbish. Smell this in the house. Smells terrible. Wow, how would you like to walk into that? Sometimes I'm the one who's dishing out that instead of saying, how was your day? Welcome home. I love you. Man, we got to watch how we do this. You know, we went traveling last month, and, You know, I like to, when you go through that TSA line, man, I always like to tell them, thank you for keeping us safe. And you should see their face. It's like, wow. Because if you listen, you can hear how much garbage they got to put up with just to do their job. When they got to stretch your bag, when they got to pat you down, some people just get so mad. But I tell each and every one, thank you for keeping us safe. One lady said, wow, you just made my day. And then when I came back with the computer. They had to take it apart, open it up, and the guy was like, yeah, sorry, we got to check. I said, you know what? Check all you want, because I'd rather be safe than have the plane blow up and then everybody be mad. Isn't that right? I mean, would you want the plane to blow up in the air? I don't think so. But yet, we don't treat them how they should. And next time you travel, try and go. And, you know, when you go to that checkpoint, that first one, when they check your ticket and your ID, just tell them, hey, thank you so much for keeping us safe. And watch their expression. It's priceless. So we need God. We need encouragement. Number three, we need friends. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads him astray. Man, we got to find righteous friends. Amen? In 1 Samuel, now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. You have probably known many different people in your life. Some of them may be acquaintances, while others you might consider friends. Of these, there may be only few that you would consider close friends. And the ones that you do would be as close as a brother. And they could be a friend that this Bible says is closer than a brother. Someone whom you can confide in, trust. Someone whom you can share your hopes and dreams. A friend who is not only there in the good times, but also the bad, thick and thin. Man, you want to have that kind of friends. The friends who's not going to desert you when it gets tough. You know, a true friendship stands the test of trials, and that time is like you need them. That's when you need to be there. They say friends come and go, but lifelong close personal friends is truly a great blessing. And when we read the story of Jonathan and David, you know, you can understand their deep friendship. Because Jonathan was King Saul's son. He could have been the heir to the throne, but God chose David. So he had every right to look at him as his enemy. But he didn't. He just developed a close personal friendship, and it was a great blessing to both of them. Yeah. It's a story of friendship that we would desire to have. They had things in common, and they had things that could have destroyed their relationship. But Jonathan didn't let them. Proverbs 18:24. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, when they say that, the person has many companions. That means he kind of chooses his friends by chance. And then with all the imitation friends, he may find himself in a lot of trouble. You ever had friends who just gave you bad advice and you took it and then you ended up in worse trouble? The one, you have to find that friend who loves. I think if you have a few great friends, it's much better than so many superficial friends. And I can tell you, what we have here at our men's ministry is such a special thing. It's a place where us guys can come and we're not judged by what happened to us, what we did, but it's a place where we can come, the walls can come down, we can share our failures, and we can pray for and love one another. And throughout the years in our men's ministry, I have developed so many close friends that I can meet with, that I can come and share my problems with, and then they would in turn give me encouragement and love. And if you are a man and if you want in on this, come check us out. You know, I'm hoping that we will have one day for the women so that they would have a place to develop deep personal friendships. But right now what we have with the men is great. So on next week, Saturday the 27th, you know, come here at 5:30 in the morning. Like I said, being a dad, you know, we got to sacrifice some things. And sometimes that something is sleep. Sleep is overrated. It really is. You know, when I was a young Christian, Pastor Alex always challenged me to meet him at 5 o'clock. He was a fisherman. I was a sleeping kind of a guy. But when he challenged me, and I was like, man, I had to force myself to get up to meet him. Now I find myself challenging other guys to get up at 5 o'clock to meet, to do devotions. And the sacrifice that I put in, the time that I have put in to sit down and meet with God, it has made me a better dad. And for all of you dads out there, take that time. Make that sacrifice, because you know what? Man, you're going to need friends. Yesterday, I did a funeral, and the son of this young man, he had two young daughters. Man, and I could picture myself back when I had two young, precious girls walking without God. And I looked at him, it's like, man, you have something so valuable. And I wanted to preach to him so badly and tell him what he needs to do, but I didn't. I just loved him. And I told him, if you ever want to sit down and talk story, because I had two young girls, now they're older, but if you ever, ever want to sit and talk, man, I'm here, just let me know. And he received it. And, you know, some of you have young children and you're in church. Good for you, because you get to raise your children and you get to be the dad that God has created you to be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we celebrate Father's Day, we know that the first and foremost thing we need is you. And if there's anybody out there who has been going through life without you, I want to give them a chance to say, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you all say this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you. With anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. You have seen the hearts. And those who have said yes to you. Lord, I pray that you would reveal your love to them through us. Let them know how much you love them and care for them and how much you desire a walk with them. Thank you so much for the dads who have brought their families to church. I pray that you would encourage them, you would walk with them, and that you would find friends to surround them. Thank you so much for this day, and we honor you as our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sciroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.